We continue our learning with the Nishmas David ben Menachem, Shem Ham Yaakov, and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Kedushin Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud. The Mishnah here is going to discuss schar for mitzvos. Kalaosa mitzvah achas mitivin lo umarichin lo yamav. Anyone who does one mitzvah literally, so Hashem does good for such a person and lengthens his life. V'nochel es aretz, and he inherits the land, which is a reference to Olam Haba Eretz Hachayim. So the Gemara assumes that we're speaking about a person who is really balanced. He has a half zechuyah, half merits and half sins. And Mishnah is coming to teach us, if you do one mitzvah, and that's all you need, so now you have more merits than sins, then so based on the pasuk in Devarim Perakei, that's Yitavloch, that's mitivin lo, and ulaman tarich yomim ala adama, which is a reference to schar in this world, and v'nochel esoretz, even schar in the next world. And others claim that the entire Mishnah, if you do one mitzvah this, and you tip the scales, it's mitivin lo marichin lo yamav v'nochel esaretz, is all a reference to Olam Haba. How do we explain the Mishnah in Peah and the Gemara in Shabbos, which we say every day? These are the mitzvahs for which a person eats in this world, peros in this world, but the keren is kayemis, the principle is for Olam Haba. It sounds like only specific mitzvahs fall into this category where we say mitivin lo in this world and nochel esaretz in the next world. So the explanation is as follows. Those mitzvahs have a special merit in the sense that even if you're 50-50, if one of the zuchuyos you have is, let's say, kibur avayim or gimelos chasadim, which is in that list, so that's where we say that a person is ochel perasim olam hazeh, and the keren kaimis is olam haba, which means those will tip the scale even if you're 50-50. So it's about, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. You may have 50% zechuyos, 50% averos, but because on the zechuyos side you have a particular mitzvah on that list, so that will already tip the scale. Then the Mishnah says, v'chol she'eino es mitzvah achas, which once again is our case, a person who has more avonos than zechuyos, and he doesn't do a mitzvah for either to neutralize it, to make it even, or doesn't do, or at least maybe two mitzvahs in order to tip the scale, then ain't mitivin lo, vein marichin lo yamav, vein onochel es haaretz. So then he's not going to get schar, olam hazeh, olam haba, etc. How do we explain that? Shouldn't a person at least get schar for the mitzvahs he does? So the Mefarshim explain how to reconcile that with our Mishnah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, in the name of Beis Hillel, and Daf Yuzayin and Beis, V'rav Chesed Mate Klape Chesed, which means, let's say someone does remain 50-50 and does not do this extra mitzvah to tip the scale in a positive way. So Beis Hillel says, well, Hashem, you know what, Hashem is Rav Chesed. So you know what he does? He inclines towards Chesed and he tips the scale in the person's favor. So if that's the case, how do we understand the Mishnah? Then what's the purpose of doing a mitzvah? So the answer is very different. The schar is going to be different for a person who did that extra mitzvah and tipped the scale himself, rather than having HaKadosh Baruch Hu do because of his great compassion and kindness. The Gemara has a brisa that says the following, and I quote: "La'olam yireh adam atzmo ki ilu chetzio chayv chetzio zaka." A person should always see himself at any moment as if he's half guilty and half innocent, half sins and half merits. Asa mitzvah achas ashrav v'shechuya atzmo l'ka. And if he does therefore one mitzvah, he should be fortunate and happy that he was able to tip the scale in for merit. But woe is to the person who does one avera now, and now he tips the scale towards guilt. And based on the pasuk Koheles Perek Tes v'chotei echad ya'abei tova harbe, yes, b'shvil chet yichidi shechata, for one individual avera, ovei mimenu tovos harbe, person loses out. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, not only the individual, but the whole world. Lefisha olam nidon acharubo, v'hayachid nidon acharubo. This is a continuation of the Bryson there in the Gemara. Said the same way, a person is judged based on the majority of zechuyos or averis he may have. The world is the same. So avar avera, so us of mitzvah achas ashrav shechuyas atzmo. Not only himself though, there's kolam lekapsuchus, the entire world. It could be that the world is 50-50. Person should imagine that doing that one mitzvah can tip it, the world will be protected and saved. Avar avera achas, And if you do one Aveira, and not only is it affecting you individually, but collectively it affects the entire world based on the Pasuk in Koheles once again, even one Aveira, much goodness may be lost because of that one Aveira. And then the Mishnah says, Kol sheyeshno b'mikra uv'mishno v'derech eretz. Anyone who's involved in Mikra, which is learning Tanakh, uv'mishno, which is Torah Shabbal Peh, and Derech Eretz, of course, is proper conduct, lo will not quickly sin. These three will protect him. Based on the Pasuk in Koheles, Shenamar, and the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk, Koheles Perek Dalet, V'hachut HaMishulash, that thread that is made of three, the fact that it's strong and it has made of three, lo b'mehero yinotek, we will not quickly break. So the chut hamishulash doesn't quickly tear. That's true when it comes to a thread. So if you twine properly, so here too, if you have it three threads together, so then it's mishulash, and then it's not going to tear. So you've strengthened the same thing, these three together, mikra, mishnah, derech eretz, together, that's the chut hamishulash, and lo b'mehero yinotek, a person won't quickly go off the derech. But v'chol she'eino, lo b'mikra, v'lo b'mishnah, lo b'derech eretz. The point Rashi explains this mean to mean that you don't have anything. Meaning if you're lacking in one of them, let's say you have two, so it's possible b'mehero yinotek. It could be that you may be going slowly but surely go off the derech. But the person who, or maybe quickly, but a person who doesn't have any of them, eino menayishav, he's considered like he's not even part of civilization at all. He's not contributing to society. It only may as well live outside of civilization. He may as well live in the desert. And the Gemara adds, "Upasu hula eda," someone who's not engaged in mikra, mishnah, and derech eretz, and any of them, he is disqualified for being being a witness. Why? Because he's not part of civilization, not involved himself at all in study and derech eretz. So he has no shame at all. And we're afraid he's going to he may lie in court. The Rambam adds that anyone who's depraved to this point, and is a chazaka we have, that he's probably violating most averos that come to him anyway. He says that in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Yud Aleph. We begin the second parak of Kiddushin. Ha'ish mikadesh bo uveshlucho. Mishnah says a man can be mikadesh a woman, Kiddushin, giving the ring, giving kesef, or giving a star. He can do that bo himself. Uveshlucho, he gave even a point to shaliach. We learn this when we learn Maseches Gittin, where we know it says v'shelcha mi beiso, that we learn from that pasuk that, and not v'girsha mi beiso, that a get can be delivered via shaliach. In fact, it can be accepted. The woman can appoint a shaliach as well. The man appoints a shaliach, that's a shaliach leholacha. The woman appoints a shaliach, that's a shaliach lekabbalah. And that can take effect through the means of a shaliach. The same thing is true when it comes to kiddushin. Because of our famous hekesh, comparing marriage to divorce, with the pasuk says, v'yatza'ah v'hayisah le'ish acher, she will leave one man and marry another. Mekesh havayu le'yitzil, we make a hekesh between marriage and divorce. Just like you can appoint a shaliach for divorce, you can appoint a shaliach for marriage. We learn from that pasuk, if you remember, that's how I know that you can get married with a star. Just like you can get divorced with a star, you can get married with a star. So you can appoint a shaliach for kiddushin as well. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me mikadesh bo uvishlucho? If you keep a mikadesh via shaliach, you certainly can do so on your own. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why the Mishnah emphasizes bo first and then shlucho, to tell you, because you could do it yourself, in order to teach you that mitzvah bo yosem mibishlucha. It's a greater mitzvah to do it on your own, to be mekadesh the woman on your own. Yeah, but the Gemara speaks about the fact that when it comes to Kavod Shabbos, the Amoraim were involved in preparations for Shabbos, because they realized, although someone else may be doing most of the preparations, they would involve themselves a little bit, because mitzvah bo yosem mibishlucha. Another thing the Gemara says we derive from here is, that there's a mitzvah, that there's an issur rather, involved if a man is mikadesh a woman without seeing her. Asur la'adam shi'kadesh es isha ad she'ra'ena. So that's why bo, doing it yourself and not having a shaliach, assuming this is the first time you're seeing her, is also a problem. There's even an issur. It's not just a mitzvah. There's even an issur involved if you haven't seen her ever. Boy, because the pasuk, maybe it could be that she won't be attractive to you. You'll be in violation of the pasuk, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. It doesn't make for a good marriage. marriage. So it's a good idea for the man to see the woman at least one time before he's mekadesh her. And that's why bo is better than shlucho. Then the Mishnah says, ha'isha miskadesh is bo v'shlucho. Same thing, the woman can accept the kiddushin, the ring, the kiddushin money, whatever it is, or the shaliach, via shaliach as well. Her and a shaliach. Ha'ish mekadesh is bito k'shi nara bo v'shlucho. A man can be mekadesh his daughter when she's a nara, he could do it himself, better to himself, the mitzvah b'so yotem shlucho, but he can send a shaliach as well. We know that a father has the authority, has the jurisdiction over his daughter, certainly when she's a ketana, up until 12, and even when she's a nara, only up until she's a bogeres, from 12 to 12, up until, once she's a bogeres at 12 and a half, no longer, but when she's a nara, from 12 to 12 and a half, he has the right to marry her off as well. Why, if it's true that he can marry her off when she's a ketana, why does the Mishnah mention only nara? To teach you that it's better not to marry her off when she's a ketana, because she can't say, biplone. She doesn't have the intellect, the das, to know when she's 7, 8 years old, when he's marrying her off, you know, who this man is, whether she's really interested in marrying him. And therefore, it's preferable that legally, technically, a father can marry a daughter off when she's a ketana, but it's preferable that he not do so. But if she's a nara, that's perfectly acceptable. We learn this in Ksuvos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. Ha'av zakai bibito. What privilege does the father have with his daughter? One of those things on that list is bikidushel, the ability to marry her off. Then the Mishnah says, ha'omer la'isha, hiskat shili b'tmarazus. This is another halacha. The Mishnah is telling us, hey, you have... here you have a case where a man tells a woman, I'm giving you this date, date like the fruit, a date, b'tmarazu, b'mikudeshes to me with this date. And then he says, his kachi libazu, and then gives her another date and says, oh, I'm a kaddish you with this date. So he adds another one. So Mishnah says, im yesh ba'achas behen shava pruta mikudeshes im lav eina mikudeshes. Only if they're one of those dates, at least, could be both, but at least one of them has to be worth a pruta. If neither of them are worth a pruta and only combine they're worth a pruta, eino mikudeshes. Why? Because he introduced each statement with the word hiskatshi, meaning hiskatshi li bizu, be mikudesh to me with this date, and then he said the word hiskatshi again on each and every date, every fruit he gives her. So therefore, they're separate statements. He doesn't have in mind that they should join together to be mitzarev together, and therefore one of them has to be worth a pruta of them to be married. What's the other one he's giving? It's a gift, it's a bikadon, it's a deposit, but it's not for the sake of kiddushin. One of them is for the sake of kiddushin, and the other is not, so you can't combine them together. The Rambam says, so therefore, what would that halacha be? Mishnah says, Eina mikudeshes. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus Perakei Halacha Chavav, Eina mikudeshes el misafik. This doesn't mean she's not mikudeshes at all. It means she's mikudeshes misafik. What's the suffik? If neither of them is worth a pruta, so what kind of doubt do we have? She should not be married. We don't combine them. The answer is shema tishvet tamara achas pruta b'makom acher. We're afraid that maybe a date is worth some is actually worth a pruta in another town, another city, another state, whatever it may be. And what you're giving her, in fact, was worth a pruta. Maybe not here where you're giving to her, but it has value. Value elsewhere, and that may matter. So if that's the case, we say she's suffik mikudeshes. Okay, that's the Rambam's shita. Then the Mishnah says, what if you said, though, bizu, bizu, bizu? You say, hiskachali, bizu, bizu, bizu. You keep giving her. You said, hiskachali, bi, and with this date, and this date. And you keep giving them to her. So there's only one hiskachi. Then im yesh shave pruta bekulon mikudeshes. If all together they equal a pruta, she's going to be mikudeshes, because you gave them all to her as a maise kiddushin echon. One maise kiddushin. Vimla, but if even all together they are not worth the pruta, ena mikudesh, she's not married. And the Rambam here also says, ena mikudesh el misafek, that is considered a suffik according to the Rambam. What about haisa ocheles rishona rishona? So now we have a case where he's giving her dates at a time, and she's eating them along the way. So he gives her each of the dates, showing that they're giving it for the purposes of the kiddushin, and before she received the next one, she ate them. Eina mikudeshes, even though he didn't say kiddushin before each and every one. So therefore, it sounds like we have the right to combine them. Doesn't matter. Eina mikudeshes ad sheyehei ba'achas mehen shavapruta. As long as one of them is a shavapruta, and you know what we mean by achas mehem? We mean the last one. Only that if the last one is worth a pruta alone, that's fine. But if the ones that were given before that last one, even if they were worth a pruta, but the last one wasn't, the kiddushin is not effective. Why? Because this becomes like a milveh, like a loan. She becomes like indebted to him for whatever the date is worth when she ate it. But because since the kiddushin, the maisa kiddushin, is not finished till he gives all of the dates, because when a person gives money for the purposes of a kiddushin, we assume he's giving it for that purpose and that purpose alone. And therefore, if the kiddushin somehow is disqualified, the money has to be given back. So if the kiddushin hasn't taken effect yet, then she doesn't have any right to the dates anyway. And if she ate it, it's like she's borrowing money and she has to reimburse him for that. So therefore, this is like a milveh. Since the act of kiddushin is not over, she owes him money. So when the kiddushin now is taking place, so what is causing the kiddushin to take effect? It could only be that last date that happens to be with her pruta, but the dates that she ate before, that is like a debt that she owes, and they're no longer in existence. So what you're going to say, oh, the Mekad issue, well, the last date wasn't worth her pruta alone, but the other ones altogether were worth, or one of them even alone was worth. Now, but she ate it already, and that, since the Kiddushin didn't take effect yet when she ate it, we assume at that moment she owes him that money. And by him saying, I'm Mekad issue with that date that you ate, let's say, that's like being Mekad is what we call Mekad is b'milveh. You're basically saying, you owe me that money, you keep the money, and I'm a kaddish with that money. That's a classic case. Mekadesh b'milveh, let's say, is a case where a man lent $100 to a woman, and then he said, you know what, I know you owe me $100, but how about this? You keep the $100, and that'll be the kesef kiddush, and that'll be like the ring that I'm giving to be married. That's mekadesh b'milveh. That does not work. There's no nesina, there's no giving. It's just the canceling of a debt. And the same thing is true over here. But of course, if the last date is worth the pruta, then the kiddushin is effective, because that date wasn't eaten when the kiddushin took effect. Now, you'll say, hold on, isn't he saying, I am a mekadesh you with all of the dates that I gave you? So that's what we call mekadesh b'milveh u'bepruta. And that's okay. We assume that a man who's mekadesh woman with a milveh and a pruta, which is what's happening here, the milveh, which doesn't work, but the pruta, which is the last date, which does work, we assume the woman's mindset is she's thinking about the pruta, that last date, and not the others, and therefore, mekadesh woman with a milveh and a pruta is going to be effective.